Hello and welcome. My name is Ian DeBay and this is The Good System. In this podcast, I try to build a vision of a good system which we then can work to implement. The podcast is a deep dive on the basis of my blog, iandebay.com, where I write about the same topics. And if you read my blog, you know education is an important key element. And that's why it was obvious to have education as one of the first podcast episodes. So today we talk about education. Why is education so crucial for a good system? And how will the educational system look like? I already wrote about education in my blog and my newsletter, which you can subscribe to, link in the show notes. As I already mentioned, for a good system, education is crucial. Having the ability to develop new thoughts is a key premise. To realize that, everyone must have the equal possibility to get a good education. But how do we achieve that, and is there even a problem in our current system? Today there is very good education available, but not for everyone. That's the problem. It is pure luck if you're born in a country with a proper educational system. And even if you are, it depends if your parents can afford the best education. A bad, unequal education system segregates the peer groups already at a young age. This is something we can observe in most Western civilizations. I have experienced it myself. I got a first insight into how educational inequality starts already in elementary school, or probably in kindergarten, when my son started school. We live in an area with many migrants and low-income households. Many of my son's friends from kindergarten visit schools in another district, and many of them even go to private school. So the privileged, mostly white and natives, and the underprivileged are divided. But that's not all. My child's school has a multi-level class. It's a specialty in the Austrian education system, where 6 to 10 year olds sit in the class together. This class has 2 teachers, a bigger room, and gets more money. And all pupils are white and native, or at least German speaking. That's segregation as its best. Of course, it must not be like this, but the selection process in this particular school results in a purely white class. All the other classes have a migration share of up to 80%. This is per se not a bad thing, quite the opposite. It can be an advantage getting to know a variety of cultures and languages. But the missing knowledge of the German language of many children slows down the progress in education. And the school also isn't only about education, it's about learning social skills, building friendships, and finding a peer group. But when children of higher educated and higher income households are separated from children with other social backgrounds, it forms bubbles that are hard to break through. You might have to imagine the bubbles are made of cement and steel. It's okay, maybe bubbles are not the best analogy, but here we are, just go with the flow. Depending on your social background and your peer groups, you will get a better education and a higher paying job. Schools were meant to break the barriers between social groups, but are now manifesting them. To prevent that from happening, we need more money and more teachers for these classes. Mixing the classes and schools properly is even more important for integration, for society, for democracy, for a good system. I would even suggest banning private schools and making it mandatory for kids to attend the nearest school. In Vienna, you can choose the school to a certain degree. And a note that's diametrical to the freedom of choice and will oppose many people across all political views. But hey, at least they'll fight together for the same thing instead of fighting a useless culture war. But this will not happen anyway, because the migrant children and their parents don't have any voting power. Since they are not Austrian, they are not allowed to vote, even if they live here for 25 years or longer. As a matter of fact, the children, although born in this country, don't have Austrian citizenship. They will also not be allowed to vote. I will talk about citizenship and nations in another episode because it's a very important topic. So the only ones who could change this segregation are the ones who benefit from the existing system. And nobody wants to give away a benefit. In many countries, the educational system needs to change. In Austria, for example, the children have to fit into the system. The system is so rigid and inflexible that it can't promote the strengths and help with the weaknesses of each and every child. Learning at the same pace and at the same time as everyone else is not accurate. This change is hard to manage and it is expensive. But every cent invested in education pays back several times over. Not only in the educational sector, but also in the health and social protection sector. And with the power of the internet, computers and gamification, it is more doable now to provide an individualistic curriculum than ever. Public available education is underfunded for several reasons. Partly because of a growing older population which doesn't have the will to fund education because they don't see any advantage for them personally. And on the other hand, the populist far-right parties are not interested in well-educated people because they could recognize that their politics are bad. And that's my biased opinion. The biggest lack in funding is in schools with children who need the most help. These schools need the most money but get less because they are not supported by rich parents. In these schools, the majority of pupils are from households with migration background and lower education, which often equals poor. Everyone who can afford it moves to another district or sends their children to a school elsewhere. Even more rich people send their school into private schools or boarding schools in Switzerland. In one city, the quality of education can differ so much from school to school. This segregation causes a divided society. Of course, it is possible for children in a poor neighborhood to be successful and become rich, but it is very rare. The path is mostly manifested. And this is one city. Maybe there are social and work policies which can compensate for the segregation a bit. But for people in poor countries, there typically isn't any public safety net. Children may even have no possibility to go to school because they have to work to help this family survive. If you have the luck of living in a rich country and get to a public school for free, there are still problems. The curriculum may be out of date, there are not enough teachers, the school building is falling apart, and there's no or not enough technical equipment, or the teachers don't know how to use it. You see, the issues are manifold. How can we solve them? In the short term, the answer is simple. More money. As simple as this answer is, as hard it is to implement. There are always groups who lobby against it. My other suggestion for a better, more equitably school system are even harder to realize in our systems. In my opinion, there shouldn't be any private schools, and I also think you don't get to choose in which school your children go to. These are important measures to more equality and less segregation. Of course, this means in the step before, all schools must be equally good. At first sight, this seems to be less freedom, but on long sight, it gives much more freedom to everyone. A good education gives everyone the possibility to follow their dreams. More good educated people means a better democratic system, more safety, a better economic system. In short, the good system we are working for. Choice does not always equal freedom. That's why it needs to be a necessity for every child at a certain age to go to school. Even if it is possible with the proper technology to homeschool, children need to be in school regularly. School is not only a place for education, but also for socializing and finding friends, things in which many schools have to become better. Technology is also a key part of a better educational system. By using it wisely, you can give children anywhere access to the best education. Also, we can possibly save resources. Yes, every child needs a public-funded device to work with, but maybe we require fewer teachers for an at least equal quality. Schools could look differently, and we also need more of them, so no kid has to drive for hours to their school. For this, we also need to rethink how and where we live and how we design these places. That's what I would do in the existing system. But in our good system, things would look different. As I already mentioned, education is only one part of it, and it is influenced by other parts of the system. Where and how people live, how we build cities, the financial system, everything is interconnected. That's why we need to change the system as a whole. I will talk about every topic. Right now, we focus on education, especially about the school system. So sit back, close your eyes, start to imagine. Except you are driving in a car, then please don't. So, imagine you are a parent, or if you want, you can be a kid again. In a good system, you do not have to worry about where your kids go to school, or where they start the education. In the morning, your child is finally ready to go to school, after it took you nearly an hour to feed, wash and dress your child. The system can't help you with that. I'm sorry. You walk to the school. On your way, you meet other parents and kids from the neighborhood who also go to the school. You talk to them. The kids play. And you don't have to worry because there are no cars. The kids also know the way, for one, because it's not far, and second, they go there since they are 3 years old. There's no separation between school and kindergarten. Children make the transition smoothly. After a short walk, you arrive at the school. The kid is there for the day. It plays, learns, eats, and has fun with their friends. There are enough teachers. Every child is best taken care of. Their strengths are enforced. Their weaknesses are minimized. Your child has friends from different socio-economic and cultural groups. Even if some have another mother tongue, they all speak a common language. There is no fixed schedule. Your kid is free to learn in their own space. They can come to school between 6 and 10 and stay as long as needed. The older ones work mostly self-organized. If they need help, there's always support. They build working groups with others. They have social time and sport together. Art is a big part in school. If your kid is sick and has to stay home, as it happens often, you can easily stay with them. Because in a good system, you always can have sick leave. You have access to educational material and online teachers, so you can homeschool your kid. But you don't have to, because your kid won't miss anything since the curriculum is individualized. The education system serves the individuals and the society. Your child learns how to get information themselves, to think critical, and to be a part of community. And all this is free, all over the world. It's not luck which decides if you are successful or not. It's in your own hands. It's a difficult task to change the educational system because of the many shareholders, but it is the most important step for a good system. Because well-educated people are more willing to change things and are progressive and forward-thinking people, generally spoken. A good educated society can transform. Since there are so many parts that need an overhaul, it's essential that the educational system is one to start with. We need to change several things at a time, but schools are priority one. If you're interested in system change and how a good system could look like, subscribe to my podcast, and if you can and want, leave a rating or even a review. This will help me a lot. By the way, this podcast is also available on YouTube. If you're already watching it on YouTube, subscribe to the channel and activate the bell so get a reminder when a new episode is online. Also check out my blog, where I write about these topics, and you can find the links to my social media profiles. Thank you for listening. Till next time, yours, Ian the Bay.